take my hand, lead me on and stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on through life. Take my hand, precious Lord.
Keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is Wednesday night, and I'm going to give a few announcements before we go into our study. Today we put out an emergency prayer request for Laura Daigle's father, Larry. Dislocated his hip, rushed to the hospital. Well, I'm happy to tell you, your prayers were answered. Larry is home from the hospital. His hip has been put into place, and he's doing fine. Laurie Daigle's son, Nick, is doing fine. He is gaining strength and doing really well. Now, on that same note, another culprit is creeping up. Today is Chris Daigle's birthday. But don't tell him I told you. But he's getting up there. So we need to wish Chris Day a happy birthday. With that in mind, let us begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer? Test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. We're here to worship. This is unusual for us. We're not used to this. I like to have people to look at. Right now, I have four. I have Brian and Julie Cooper, Julie's mother, and Jeff Harrison. And then I have 45 young people smiling at me. And I'm going to teach them. I'll look at you sometime, but I'm teaching them too. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are in a period and a time that we've not known. America's never known. The world really hasn't known since the beginning of the church age. You're getting our attention. Pray now, Father, as we come together to worship you, that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and to understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Faith in the Holy Spirit. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in the love of God. Remember, the love of God is the only essence that I found in all of the Bible that is the object of faith. Trust His loving kindness. Now, when you do these things, trusting in the Holy Spirit, the love of God, results in strength. The time of assault of the invisible warfare that we're now in. People, God is trying to get our attention. He is closing down almost everything so that we will turn to Him for salvation, deliverance, peace, joy, hope, and encouragement. Trust His love of what's going on. People, we're not here. We're not told to understand everything God is doing. That's not what we're told. We're told to trust Him. Trust Him. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. He trusts in the Lord. That's what we're commanded to do. Not understand. If you don't understand what all this COVID-19 is about, doesn't matter. Commanded to trust Him in the midst of these things. He's trying to get our attention. Now, I think most of you know most of the restrictions, what we can and can't do. Sometimes it's complicated, whether the president can do it, a governor can do it, a mayor can do it, can't go out, can't do this, can't assemble more than 10, and all these things. But people, let me tell you something. There are some things we can do. There's no restriction about prayer. There's no restriction on opening and reading and studying your Bible. There's no restriction on telling someone else about Jesus Christ. There is no restriction on telling others about our internet study. Let's rejoice in the things we can do and do them. These are the things we can do, so we need to rejoice in them. Now, if you're up to date, today was an interesting day. In the midst of the coronavirus, the drug, and I'm talking about illegal drugs, cocaine, marijuana, cartel from South America, namely Mexico, Venezuela, South America throughout. The drug cartel has stepped up, bringing drugs into America, mainly on the coast, West Coast and East Coast, bringing drugs in. And they're bringing in tons. Well, the President of the United States has declared war. and he has lifted a lot of restrictions. They can now go in and stop these ships. Couldn't do that. We can now go aboard these ships and take tons of the drugs away from them. This is just another attempt to bring down America, people. People, the drug cartel is not alone. The Democrats in our own government have been using COVID-19 to attack and bring down our president. They failed in the election by the people, whom they do not respect. They failed in their impeachment attempt. And now they're using the COVID-19 to attack and bring down the president. This is their goal. People, you must understand, freedom is under siege. Christianity is under siege. Jews are under siege worldwide. Our freedom is under siege. They do not want our freedom in America. They want globalization. They do not want America. They do not want the freedom that you and I enjoy in America. As Ronald Reagan said, we are one generation away from the loss of our freedom. People had no idea of this plague of COVID-19 would do to the world. No idea what it would do. They also have no idea how close we are to losing our freedoms in this country, namely the First and Second Amendment. The religious right to assemble and freedom of guns. People, when they take away our guns, let me tell you something. They take away the guns from the American people. We're nothing more than another communistic country. Communism of Russia, communistic China, communistic North Korea, communistic Venezuela. The United States is not far behind. There was a type of an American that came to the front during the Depression and World War II. We've all read the books, seen the movies, stories of heroes. They worked together. Democrats, Republicans, independents. There was something important about America under siege with the Depression, with World War II. I don't know if we have that kind of Americans today. I think too many Americans are used to the government taking care of them, used to the government paying their bills, used to the government making their decisions from the womb to the grave. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think so. That was a different breed of Americans. Your great-grandfathers and grandmothers, grandparents, than what we have today. People, let me paraphrase Martin Luther. It's time we take a stand. It's time we make a stand. Stand for Christ foremost. Stand for the Word of God. Stand for freedom to tell others of Christ, to tell others of the Word of God. The world's in trouble. I hope you've caught on to that. People are dying. Mothers and daddies, children, parents, grandparents, family, dying. And the Democrats are using it politically. They've even suggested the military needs to completely shut down so that it doesn't spread the virus through the military ranks. Isn't that the most asinine thing in the world? Why don't we just tell all the doctors, stay home, Stay home, because you can get it from one person and take it to another person. Stay home, doctors and nurses and first responders. That's ridiculous, people. But that's what the Democrats want to do. They want to close down America, take over, and make it a globalization. Freedom is under siege. Your freedom to come and worship with other believers. Your freedom to study the Word of God. Your freedom to believe however you want to believe. Find a church that believes what you do and teach it. Freedom. It's so precious. So precious, people. If you have nothing to die for, you have nothing to live for. What would you die for? I quote Joshua, "Me and my house," quoting, paraphrasing, "we will die for the Lord. We will stand for the Lord. We will serve the Lord, stand with the Lord, die for Him." Everybody has to make up their own mind. See, you can pass from one generation to the next. 2 + 2 = 4. And you pass that down. But the gospel, you can't. Each individual must make up his or her own mind about Jesus Christ. Make up their own mind what they believe about Jesus Christ. See, that's the great issue. There are days in the church age that have changed the world. Think about it. I love history. I had a world history teacher in high school. She looked like she had lived world history. But nevertheless, Miss Bailey was a wonderful lady. See? Days that changed the world. The world has not been the same. America, founded as a nation, July the 4th, traditional date, July the 4th, 1776, changed the world. Russian Revolution, 1917, 25 October, changed the world. The rise of Nazism after 1938 changed the world. Pearl Harbor, December the 7th, 1941, changed. Fall of the Berlin Wall changed the world. November the 9th, 1989. 9/11, terrorist attacks in America, on American soil, 2001, changed the world. And people, it's my belief that coronavirus is going to change the world. Going to change the world. We're going to get through it. Make no doubt about that. We made it through polio. Make it through these things. Doctors and scientists all over the world are working on a vaccine. Now we're talking about a year or two away before it's okayed and administered. And then like polio shots. I remember when I was a little child, they went, 1 year was shot, but they also, 1 year they gave us a little salt, tablet with, and they put some fluid in it, and that was our anti-polio. Okay? So, that'll happen. I believe that. We will conquer COVID-19. And then God will have something else. But we will conquer it. See? Now, there are events that change history. Darwinism. Darwinism changed history. Not so much really Darwinism, but what the world made of Darwinism changed history, changed the teaching of creationism. Removal of the Bible from education, 25 June 1962, 17 June 1963. Take the Bible reading out of our schools. Removal of the Bible from our judicial system, 1963, when the Supreme Court declared reading of the Bible in public is unconstitutional. Unconstitutional. I'll guarantee you, every member that signed the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution would roll over in their grave at that one. But that's what had happened. Same-sex marriage. Moral. Morality changing. Now, I believe that after we do master COVID-19, it's going to be a great effect on our economics. People, I don't know if you realize it or not, we're already deeply in debt. But out of the $2 trillion package that the president's going to give everybody, $1 trillion is borrowed. Borrowed. That just adds $1 trillion right up front to our national debt. We're in trouble economically. I hope you have the intelligence enough to know that once this is over, it will affect our society economically. This is going to be devastating to the world and to the United States. It's going to change our economics, our social lives, and our politics. We need to be in constant, fervent prayer and turn to the Word of God more than ever before in the history of America. We need the Word of God. Now, on Wednesday night, we're in the study of the book of Ezekiel. Now, I want to tell you something. I resist a strong temptation today. What I wanted to study tonight, we're going to study Sunday morning at the first class, spiritual love and COVID-19. We're going to study about homes. I've heard parents are abusing their children. They can't stand being home all day with them. Children are abusing their parents. They can't stand being home all day with them. Husbands and wives are against each other. They can't stand being with each other all day. God has given us a solution. And on Sunday morning, I strongly encourage you. Sunday morning, first class, be 9:30. Is that right, Julie, about 9:30? 9:30 is a very important study for what's going on in your home, in your work, and in your life. But Wednesday night, we're in the midst of studying how God controls history. And that's what made me decide to go ahead and teach this. It's Ezekiel, Old Testament, but it deals with God's control of history. And I want this to be embedded in your souls so that you relax about COVID-19 and all that is going on in our schools, our churches, our work world. I saw a funny one today. It had a teacher with a frown on her face in a classroom. And it said, the government better get the kids back to school before they learn to think for themselves. I thought that was classy. That's very good. They got to think. And that's your job right now at home. You could start teaching your children instead of depending on some teachers. You teach them how to think. How to think. See, schools teach them what to think. You teach them how to think. So that they can overrule and come through all of this stuff going on. So we're in the midst studying Ezekiel. Now, I understand we have new listeners. I hope so. I hope that's true. So let me just quickly bring you to stuff where we are. Ezekiel is a book in the Old Testament. Ezekiel was a prophet sent by God to the people of Israel when they were in captivity. They were not in Jerusalem, not in Israel. They were in captivity in the Babylonian Empire, taken away from their homes to the Babylonian Empire, and God called Ezekiel, called Daniel, but he called Ezekiel also. Now, he ministered somewhere around 593 to 560 BC, 2,600 years ago. And I love his name. Ezekiel, Z-E-L-N-N. Ezekiel means God strengthens. And people, God will strengthen you right now today. If you're an unbeliever, you've never believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, please do so. I encourage you right now, right where you sit, believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's simple. Just believe in Jesus Christ. And then if you want, tell God the Father that you believe in His Son as your personal Savior. And people, you'll be saved for all eternity. It's that simple. You don't have to join a church. One thing about this closing down of churches, can't walk an aisle. You can't join a church. All these things. And that just brings us to the truth. All it takes is simple faith in Jesus Christ. And you may be sitting there, I don't know about all this. I can believe that He's my Savior, but I don't know all the other things, creation and all. All it takes is a grain of mustard seed. A little bitty mustard seed of faith. Doesn't take a watermelon size of faith. Just a grain of mustard seed. Father, I don't understand much, but I believe Your Son is my Savior. I did it when I was 7. Faith of a child. You can do it at 7, 17, 27, 37, on and on. All it takes, simple faith in Jesus Christ. If you have made that simple decision, see, He will strengthen you in the midst of COVID-19 if you just continue to trust Him. Continue to grow in His Word. Gain strength. He'll strengthen you. Give you peace and joy each day. Now, this prophetic book is easily divided. Take a look at it if you want sometime. Chapters 1 through 3, the call of the prophet. Chapters 4 through 24, excuse me, chapters 24 through 24, prophecies against Jerusalem, God's city that He loves. Chapters 25 through 32, prophecies against the nations around Israel. Boy, the news is packed. Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, on and all these nations. You'll find them all in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 38 to 39 then deals with the destruction of the Israel's enemies, and then the closing of the book deals with the restoration of the nation of Israel. So there's hope. So what I'm thinking, if someone's listening to Ezekiel, they're in captivity. They've heard that Jerusalem has been destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar went in and destroyed it, and the walls, the city. And then they hear, but you're going to be restored. You're going to rule the world. All these things. They go, that's hope. What wonderful hope is in this great prophecy. See? So this is what we're doing. Now the section that we're in, that one way, the restoration is chapter 33 through 48. Beautiful, encouraging prophecies of the restoration of Israel. Now we're in the midst of looking at chapters 38 and 39, which centers on the restoration of Israel, but these chapters concentrate on the destruction of Israel's enemies at the end of what we call the tribulation. Don't be frightened by that word. If you don't like that word, the last 7 years promised to Israel. Okay? God is faithful. Thank God for it. He is faithful. Okay? And so, these nations have vowed, and they still do today, vowed the total destruction of Israel, the elimination of all Jews. Anti-Semitism is on the rise throughout the world. Under siege. Christianity is under siege. Freedom is under siege. They go together. Now, we have noted the alignment of the nations prior already in verses 1 through 6. We now move to the attack against Israel. Verses 7 through 23. Verses 1 through 6, the alignment of the nations at the end of the tribulation. And now we're looking at verses 7 through 23, attack. We're going to study the move to the attack against Israel and the destruction. We'll have to take a look at a book of chapter in Revelation with this. But nevertheless, this is where we are in our study. Now, Ezekiel 38. Background. The people are in a worse condition than coronavirus. They're not even in their own land. They are held enemies in Babylonian Empire. See? So, that's where we are in chapter 38. People, God has a future for the Jews. God has a future for Israel. Do not get involved in replacement theology. See, what replacement theology does is, we do not believe in the faithfulness of God. That's what replacement theology is. We do not believe in the faithfulness of God. God made promises that have not been fulfilled, covenants that have not been fulfilled with Israel, but He doesn't care. He doesn't have to fulfill them. Just push it aside and put the church in place. People, if God does not have to be faithful to Israel, God does not have to be faithful to us. We have no guarantee of our eternal life. If God can just arbitrarily say, well, I'm not keeping my word, then we have no guarantee of our eternal life with Him in heaven. So stay away from replacement theology. In fact, God is going to give Israel 10 times the amount of land they now have today. 10 times. Part of Egypt, all of Assyria, all of Lebanon, all of Syria, all of Jordan, all of Iraq, all of Kuwait, part of Saudi Arabia. This is the land of Israel during the millennium and forever, ever after, in the new heavens and new earth. Forever. The church, in eternity, will be in the New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem will not be on earth. We study this in Revelation. It'll be over, right over the earth. The Jews will be on earth in their land. And nations will be all over the world of Gentiles. Now, Ezekiel 38, prophecy. Tribulation. Terrible time for the Jews. So why is God doing this? To evangelize the Jews. Epidemics, tribulations through history, often result in evangelization. We saw Sunday how during the Antonine plagues of the 2nd century, the plagues of Scipion in the 3rd century led to the great spread of Christianity. Why? Because the Caesars and the people looked at these Christians who would go to slaves, peasants, people that the Roman Empire kicked out and wanted nothing to do with during all of this sickness, and Christians ministered to them. Christians ministered to them. The Caesars were amazed by that. They're not even Christians. And yet Christians minister to them. People, we have a wonderful opportunity now to spread the gospel in these troubled times. See? Now, We studied several of the opening verses, but let's just read them so that you can feel familiar with our study. Verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came to me saying," came to Ezekiel, "Son of man," that's a title, "set your face toward Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, prophesy against them. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you." Now, people, let me tell you something. When the Lord is against you, you're in trouble. One of the problems with the morality in America, they think they're getting away with it. See, we can have adultery, promiscuity, homosexuality. God's not doing anything. God doesn't care. You're in a grace time. You're in a grace period. And now we have a warning. COVID-19. Wake up! Wake up, America! Wake up, Christians! Wake up! Those of you who claim to believe in Christ as Savior, wake up. This is not about the end of time. This is about the church. The church better wake up. Get back to its responsibility, teaching the Word of God, verse by verse, word by word. Get rid of these false teachers. How do false teachers get so popular? Have mega churches and all? Because Christians support them. That's why. Christians, stand up. Watch where you put your money. Watch what you give your money to. Who you're giving it to. Wake up! We better wake up around the world, because we're in trouble. Read the voice of the martyrs. You'll see how Christianity is under siege throughout the world, and Christians are martyred. More Christians have been martyred in the last 100 years than in all the 1900 years before. More than all of them before. If you don't take the voice of the martyrs, I encourage you to do so. It's a great magazine, sobering magazine, causes you to love your freedom. Love the freedom to go to church. Love your freedom to open the Word of God and study the Word of God. So he says in verse 3, "I am against you, O God, Prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and I will turn you about and put hooks in your jaws." We saw how this is like a rider controlling a horse with reins. Only these are going to be hooks in the jaws of which he's going to control. People, Jesus Christ controls history. He controls the king of the north. He controls what's going on in the world right now. He controls the COVID-19. God is in control. Say it out loud, believe it, and be at peace. I don't understand what you're doing, God, but I trust you. You're God. You know what you're doing. You have a plan. I trust you. And for me and my house, we're going to serve you. We're going to study your word. We're going to tell others of Christ. And I will bring you out, and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them, splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them wailing swords. What we're looking at here is the armies, the infantry, the horse and horsemen, the cavalry, working together. Splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them wailing swords. This refers to the design of a heavy artillery that is moving, if we had a map, moving toward Israel, coming down from the north toward Israel. There would be an army coming from the south, army coming from the east, across the Euphrates River from China. It's going to be awesome. Hollywood couldn't even begin to picture this, what's going to happen at this time. Now, it amazes me, the pacifist in America, anti-military, anti-America people all over America, do not have the reasoning ability to realize that all the other countries of the world are building their military. Now, under Obama, we drastically went down. Now, Trump is building it back up. Third Armor that I was in Germany is no longer. Obama took it out. That hurt my feelings. But nevertheless, we're getting a lot of these things, militaries rebuilt. See? But Obama and a lot of these people think, if we lower our military, they will lower their military. Wrong. They see that as a weak America. Let's build our military and take over. People, you got to realize the world hates America. Now, what's interesting is China says they're going to rule the world by 2030. Russia hasn't put a date on it, but they're going to rule the world. India says they're going to rule the world. America has no desire to rule the world, and yet the world hates us. You know what they hate? They hate our freedom. They hate our Christianity. They hate the fortitude of Christians in this country. Get rid of them. That's what the Democrats want to do. That's what Bernie Sanders wants to do. Get rid of Christians in this country. We've got to get rid of them. They're the hardheads. They're the troublemakers. They're the ones who are saying homosexuality is wrong. They're the ones saying that immorality is wrong and all these things. Get rid of these people. They're troublemakers. Well, I'm a troublemaker. I'm proud of it. And I hope you are. It's time to take a stand. Time to take a stand. See? Don't have an ignorance of history. Learn from history. Learn from it. Go buy the four volumes, Gibbon's Histories of the World, and read it in this time. Learn from history. Learn about history. Learn what's happening in history. Now, verse 5. Persia, Ethiopia, and put with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Persia, modern Iran, maybe Pakistan and Afghanistan. Ethiopia, south of Egypt, put Libya in North Africa, south of Ethiopia. We study these things. Now we come to verse 6. Gomer, with all its troops. Gomer, organized aggression. Eldest son of Japheth and his descendants. Beth, let me put my glasses back on. Beth Togarmah from the remote parts of the north with all its troops. Many peoples with you. Togarmah, a son of Gomer, associated with the name in the records of Assyria. It may refer to tribes in Central Asia, Siberia, or the Armenians. Now, let me talk to you a moment. About something important. This is where a lot of our failures in America and today in the world. Preachers don't want to spend the time studying the Word of God. It takes time. Preferably, know the Greek and the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and study it. There are principles for interpreting the Word of God. One of the reasons we have so many false doctrines today is we have so many false teachers today that don't know a thing about interpreting the Bible. And interpreting the Bible comes under a name called, a 50-cent word, hermeneutics. Hermeneutics. Principles of studying the Bible. Now, there are hermeneutics for studying the Psalms. If we're studying a song, we study it as a song. The hermeneutics for poetry. If we're studying poetry, study it as poetry. Okay? Maybe a lot of you didn't like poetry in school. You'll love poetry in the Bible if it's taught correctly. Okay? There's a hermeneutics for studying narrative. You don't use the same hermeneutics for narrative that you use for Psalms. You don't use the same hermeneutics for studying the Apostle Paul that you did for studying Psalms or the narratives in the Old Testament. You don't use the same hermeneutics. See? Well, there's a biblical hermeneutics for the study of biblical locations. And we have here in chapter 38. You have to interpret the Bible and interpret these locations as to the time of writing. Not the day, time of writing. Who was Ezekiel talking about? He wasn't just babbling. He knew who he was talking about. Who was he talking about? In the time of Ezekiel, Magog was located north of the Black Sea. We know it today as Russia. Ezekiel knew it as Magog. We know it as Russia. If you take a map and draw a line northward from Israel, you'll go right through the north to Russia. Russia today spreads east and west some awesome 6,000 miles. That's wider than Texas. And that is depressing. It's also wide. That's a lot of land. Now, point by its usage, Rosh, R-O-S-H, this refers to a person. Now, it does not refer to a person, but to the people living in a specific geographical area. The northern part, regardless of who the inhabitants might be, at any particular time in history. Let me give you an example. Had the rapture occurred in 1975, Rosh would have been referring to communist Russia. See? If the rapture had occurred between 1500 and 1917, Rosh would have referred to the peoples living under the reign of the Tsars. If the rapture had occurred in the 12th century, Rosh would have been Mongolians. So, different periods of history. But right now, today, we know this area as Russia. Also, because there has been great movements of these people, there has been a great mixture of many nations and peoples in Russia. And therefore, Rosh does not designate any one ethnic group. Rosh does not refer to a race. Rosh refers to a geographical area. See? Which we know as Russia. Now, for further insight, let's look at Daniel. Open your Bibles. It's time to open our Bibles again. We've opened them to Ezekiel. Now, go to Daniel. The next book, Daniel, and let's go to chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11, and what I want to do is I want to read verses 40 through 45 so we can talk about it. Daniel chapter 11, verse 40. At the end time, the king of the south will collide with him, and the king of the north, that's what we're studying, will storm against him with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships, on the Mediterranean. And he will enter countries, overflow them, and pass through them on the way to destroy Israel. He will enter the beautiful land. Now the beautiful land refers to Israel. And many countries will fall, but these will be rescued out of his hand. Edom, Moab, and the foremost of the sons of Ammon will be rescued. Then he will stretch out his hand against other countries, and the land of Egypt will not escape. But he will gain control over the hidden treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And Libyans and Ethiopians will follow his heels. But rumors from the east, here comes Jonah. Rumors from the east and from the north will disturb him, and he will go forth with great wrath to destroy and annihilate many. He will pitch the tents of his royal pavilion beside the seas of the beautiful holy mountain, Zion, Jerusalem. Yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him. Now if you look at these verses carefully, you will note that the pronouns he and him is used 15 times in these 6 verses. Each time, he or him refers to the Antichrist, dictator of the revived Roman Empire. See? So, this is what this refers to. Now, the tribulation does not start right after the rapture. I want you to understand that. Some people have the idea the church goes up, tribulation starts. Wrong. It doesn't start right after. How long of a period between the rapture of the church, the taking out of the bride, and people, don't be bothered by that. Give God thanks. We're the bride of Christ. He's not going to make his bride go through. We're the church. This is Israel. The tribulation is Israel. And the church and Israel are never on earth at the same time. Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, church. Rapture, church taken away. It's going to be beautiful. We're his bride. And we better wake up. Get back to his word. Pay attention to what's going on with COVID-19. It's no accident. I think it's a warning. I think it's a warning to the church. You better wake up. You better straighten up your moral life, your spiritual life, and evangelize. Wake up, bride. Now, what's it going to be like? The best I can tell you, if you've ever seen the great Fighting Texas Aggie band performing at halftime at a football game, what about the way they end it? They march, boom, boom, souls, just beautiful. I mean, they make turns and everything. Even the big trombone doesn't hit anybody in the head. It's just gorgeous. How do they leave the field? They just scatter. That's going to be the rapture. Just God's going to take us home. It's time for the next dispensation, Age of Israel, to continue. I'm taking you out. Now, what we're going to be doing, judgment seat of Christ, and every Christian's going to stand before Christ eye to eye. And you know what you're going to be judged on? Not morality, not good works. You're going to be judged on the basis of how often you allow the Holy Spirit to use you. We'll study that on Sunday morning. And then we'll have the marriage. And then after the marriage, come back to earth, and we have a marriage supper of the Lamb in Jerusalem, and Israel is the guest of the groom. See? So all of this is to yet come about. So we have the rapture, and then there's going to be a time frame, and we do not know how long. Several things have to happen in that period. One, the ten horns of Daniel chapter 7 have to come into existence. Revived Roman Empire. Two, out of that little horn must come the Antichrist. Be identified. He will not be identified in the church. If we're in that time frame, he's alive and on earth and grown. But we don't know it. See? Don't even try to guess about it. Just leave that up to the Lord. Three, after that, Daniel 9:27, there will be a confirmed peace agreement, covenant, between the revived Roman Empire and Israel. And four, depending on your timeline, there may be a great war in this time period. So there's a lot to go on in that time frame. The period of tribulation, 7 years, the last 7 years promised to Israel, they were promised 490 years, up to Christ, 483. They rejected the Messiah. That stopped the clock. They have 7 years to go. God will give it to them at the end of the tribulational period of 7 years. Now, it is interesting how some are trying to say that President Trump's peace treaty was the one spoken of in Daniel, Daniel 9:27. Look at Daniel 9:27. Let's just get familiar with the Bible. Have fun with it. Chapter 9, verse 27. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. Now that's 7 years. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 years, he will put a stop to sacrifice in Israel and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. So what's going to happen? Before the tribulation starts, Roman Empire will make a covenant with Israel, and when they sign that covenant, that will begin those 7 years. Church will not even be here. And that covenant is to protect Israel. And what Israel is going to do is very interesting. Get on Google sometime and find out how important Israel is to the world. How many peace, Nobel Peace Prizes have been given to Jews from Israel? Study the coronavirus vaccine investigation. Study computers. Study a lot of things. And study military. Why do you think these countries have not invaded Israel yet? It's just a little bitty country. Little bitty country. Why didn't they invade them? Because they're afraid of their military. See? They have a great military. But what's going to happen is, by this covenant, they're going to lay down arms. Big mistake. When you lay down your arms, you're in trouble. Learn from history. And then, after 3.5 years, their arms are gone, their military's gone, he breaks it. Now they have no defense. So what they're going to have to do, God has told them, when you see these things happen, get out of Jerusalem, get out of there, go toward Turkey, what is now Jordan, go toward Jordan, and hide. There, a place I have picked for you. See? So, now let's look at Daniel 11, verse 41. Daniel 11, verse 41. He refers to the dictator of the revived Roman Empire, the Antichrist, will also enter the beautiful land, Israel. He will come to Israel to defend it, according to a peace covenant. And many countries will fall, neighbors of Israel. But these will be rescued out of his hand. Edom, Moab, and the foremost of the sons of Ammon, modern-day Jordan. Why? That's where they're going to go and hide. See? God's got a marvelous plan here, people. God's in control. Don't get so overwhelmed with COVID-19. Just sit back and say, okay, God, you're in control. I'm going to redeem the time. I'm going to redeem the time with my family, my husband, my wife, my children, my parents. I'm going to redeem the time. I'm going to even redeem the time when I wash my hands, Lord. I'm not going to sing happy birthday twice. I'm not going to count to 20. I'm going to pray for three people. I'm going to bring three people's names to the throne of grace. Someone in my family, someone at the church, someone in the government. I'm going to bring your name before you. And then I'll wash them. I'm going to redeem the time. Don't waste the time. You don't have time to waste. I know it seems like it. I got all the time in the world. Nothing's happening. Redeem the time and give thanks for it. It is marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. All right. Now, modern day Jordan. Why Jordan? Why not bother Jordan? That's where the people of Israel will go out of Jerusalem. I think it'll be a place called Petra. But it'll be a place like Petra, if not Petra, I don't know. No one really knows, but certainly it fits all the requirements. See? And this is given to us, well, we're running out of time, and I'm just getting motivated here. Revelation 12:6. Let me read it to you. Revelation 12:6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, into Jordan, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days, just a few days short of 3.5 years. God has it all worked out. And right now He has a place in Jordan for them to go to. And if they will listen to Him and go, those who listen to Him and go, they will be spared in this battle. See? Verse 43 or 42, then he will stretch out his hand against other countries, and the land of Egypt will not escape. From the first 6 verses, it is clear that there will be a great confederation known as the Northern Confederation, the Northern Bloc, okay, under the leadership of the one who rises from the land of Gog Magog, Northern Russia. And then they will move against Israel. Now, I'm sorry, we've got a break now, and we'll pick it up right here next Wednesday night, all things remaining equal, and we'll be back here. I encourage you, please be in prayer. Redeem the time. Redeem the time with your husband. Redeem the time with your wife. Redeem the time with your children. Redeem the time with your parents. Redeem the time with your friends, family. Redeem the time. Don't look at this as wasted time. This is a great period of time. Great period of time. Use it. Use it preciously. Open the Bible with your family. Play Bible games with your children. Sit down with your adult family. Pick out a book in the Bible. Pick out Revelation. Pick out Ezekiel. Pick out Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Ephesians, which we're studying on Sunday morning. And just read through it. Talk about it. Pray about it as you go through it. See you Sunday morning. I hope you're able to join us at the first class, 9:30. Very important in dealing with being at home with your loved ones. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. We thank you that it reveals to us you control history. Not the Republicans, not the Democrats, not the governments, not the nations. You control history. And with that, Heavenly Father, we can be at peace, have constant hope and joy. and not be in fear. You have everything under control. We praise you, Father. Pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen tonight. Use these things for the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.